Charles Parris mystery, Murder in the Title, starring Bill Nye as Charles.
I'd forgotten the ceiling sloped in my B&B.
Too many floral prints.
And a surfeit of Laura Ashley failed the Charles Parris hangover test.
It's 7 a.m. with Peter Bate, your Sunday breakfast smoothie.
After a year out of work, I just opened in rep, sedating audiences in The Message's Murder. It was a turgidly unthrilling thriller, but I was glad to be back in the saddle, till someone tried to stab me during the show. I was in shock after the show, but no one was remotely interested in a pissed actor burbling on about attempted murder.
Happy days.
And being caught drunk in charge of a duff play meant an impending bollocking from Sean, our manager. But first I had to face a joyless breakfast in the grim dining room of Rugland's grimmest B&B.
It's back to 1971 with Middle of the Road.
Oh. Chirpy, chirpy, sod off.
Tea or coffee?
Tea.
Boiled or scrambled?
Boiled.
Brown or white?
I'm not fussy about the shells.
I meant the toast.
I was making white, please.
Help yourself to prunes or cereal.
Right. The reason I'd got hammered the night before was the news that Frances had taken in Fabio, an Italian lodger. And even though she could twist me round her little finger, she'd always had a thing about good-looking Latin types.
I did say prunes or cereal.
Anyway, there was no mistaking the fact that I had got drunk. I had ballsed up on stage, and this had the air of a condemned actor's final breakfast before he gets fired.
Toast.
Thank you. I might be moving on today.
You've paid till the end of the month.
What if I'm not here at the end of the month?
Oh, you'll have to talk to my husband. He's finance, I'm hospitality.
Okay. Oh, have you got any marmalade?
Oh, actors.
Hi, Morris.
And you can turn that outside. No phones in the dining room.
Oh. What the hell's going on up there? Rugland Spa's all over Twitter.
I don't do Twitter.
It's tweet and you should. I've got followers everywhere. They're my eyes and ears. I am Morris, the all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful. I am omnipotent.
Try Viagra.
Ha ha. So have they fired you yet?
No.
Oh, but my follower at Rugland Geezer says, Charles Parris, pissed on stage, best part of show, LOL.
Yeah, well, I'm lucky to be alive after last night.
So you were drunk?
Actually, I was nearly stabbed.
Oh, broken Britain reaches Rugland Spa.
It's not funny. You should have been where I was standing.
Sadly, I was at a Guild of Agents dinner.
You have a guild? I thought it was a coven.
Anyway, who'd want to stab you apart from me? How drunk were you?
I'd had a few.
Of course you had.
They tried to put an understudy on, but I was fine. Well, fine enough to play a corpse. Then I nearly ended up one.
You never were a method actor.
If I hadn't bent forward to check my fly, I'd have been kebabbed by that knife.
Accidents happen in theatres.
Trust me, this was no accident.
Uh-oh. Lord Peter Whiskey's in the house.
That blade had force and intent.
Who's your understudy?
Ugh, a bumptious ASM called Chris.
Then how do you know your fictional assailant wasn't after him?
Come to think of it, Jim Worrell also offered to stand in for me.
Ah, your illustrious author.
Most of the audience might have wanted to kill him for writing such an awful play.
If there was an intended victim, looks like you were just a supporting player.
So, no change there.
Oh, sorry to dent your ego. Oh, now I've got to go. Dan Radcliffe's poking me on Facebook.
Theory scuppered. I went to meet the theatre manager with the foreboding of a man heading for the gallows.
Come in. Absolutely, Jack. I'm with you on that. Sit down, Charles.
Sean Reynolds was a corporate suit from haircut to polished shoes, and like all new brooms, he was determined to make his mark on the Regent Theatre. On the other hand, as suits went, I liked him.
Okay, Jack, I'll get back to you ASAP. Tony's had weeks to sort out a rehearsal space, and still he manages to lose the church hall to Pilates for pensioners. Thanks for coming in this early on a Sunday.
Under the circumstances, it's the least I could do.
Under the circumstances, you're right. Now, as I was told it, you went to a pub during the show.
Yeah.
And nearly missed a cue.
I was back in plenty of time.
But massively pissed.
Cataclysmically.
Then you messed up your final entrance.
There was a reason.
I know, you were drunk.
Reading the situation now probably wasn't the time to mention my near stabbing or to start putting forward theories.
And because you fancied a half-time drink, your colleagues had to improvise a whole new ending just to make the final twist work.
I'm not going to make any excuses.
Well, that's something. Charles.
I know, it was incredibly unprofessional, and believe me, there's nothing you could say that would make me feel worse than I do already.
I won't lie to you. Tony wants you to go.
Right.
People usually drink for a reason. Is there a problem?
Problem?
Issues. Something you need to deal with. Wife, girlfriend, partner.
Who hasn't got issues?
I'm throwing you a line here. Meet me halfway.
There is this guy, Fabio.
Uh-huh.
I've got a bad feeling he's going to come between me and Francis.
Oh, Francis is your boyfriend.
No.
Oh, so Fabio's your boyfriend.
No, Fabio's the lodger. Francis is my wife.
Ex-wife.
My semi-ex-wife.
Just tell me, is this something you can resolve? Is there likely to be a repeat of last night's fiasco?
Definitely not. There followed one of those awful talent show pauses before the judges tell you you're not going to be Nancy or Dorothy or Prime Minister.
You've put me in an invidious position, Charles.
If there'd been a telephone vote, I'd be dead in the water.
But I always go with my gut reaction.
Was I going to live the dream or pack my bags?
Okay, executive decision. I'll tell Tony you're staying.
I thought I was going to be in a sing-off.
What?
I appreciate this, Sean.
I'm too soft for my own good, but you don't escape Rugland that easily.
It won't happen again.
Make sure it doesn't. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got to talk to Mothers Against Depravity.
Of course. Thank you. Elated that I hadn't been given the boot, I cut through the pass door by Sean's office and was hurrying to my dressing room for a celebratory drink when...
Sorry, Chris.
What the hell are you doing here?
I didn't expect to see anyone.
Well, some of us have to work on a Sunday.
Let me help. While we picked up prop cutlery, Chris shot me one of his smug point-scoring smiles.
Been up to see Sean, have you?
Yeah.
Suppose I'll have to mop up the blood on the carpet. So, what's next on your horizon?
I'm going to nip down to London to recharge the batteries, then back here for Monday's show.
Oh?
Yeah, Sean was very decent about last night.
Right. Well, someone must like you.
Having wiped the smile off his smug face, it was time to turn the tables. How about your sketch show?
I told you, it's not a sketch show. It's a pilot for an edgy comedy drama.
So, how's your edgy comedy drama? Tony giving you time off for the recording?
Oh, don't talk to me about that bastard. Just because he's stuck in his provincial hellhole, it kills him to think of someone young and more talented getting a break.
Chris had a lot of what psychiatrists call hostility issues. But had Tony or I pissed him off enough for him to want to stab one of us?
I'll tell you something. I'll be at that recording whether Tony Hegarty likes it or not.
Well, I better let you get on. Oh, by the way, there's a big rip in one of the flats.
Which one?
Just behind the closet door where they find me dead. Something sharp slashed right through the canvas.
Great. And there goes my Sunday.
It wasn't the reaction I'd have expected from a potential murderer, but there'd be time to think about that on the train to London, if I made it past Mothers Against Depravity.
Girl, you really got me going.
What do we want?
A home free Rutland!
Where do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
A home free Rutland!
Where do we want it?
Now!
Sorry, can I just get
Will you sign a petition against the obscene play?
Well, it's not great, but I'd hardly call the messages murder obscene.
Not that play, the next one.
Oh, you mean...
Look, we all know the title and we don't need that sort of depraved rubbish here.
Normally, Britannia wouldn't be my cup of crystal meth. But I was so grateful to Sean for saving my skin, I thought I should defend his next production against the slings and arrows of Rugland's moral minority.
Did you see the show when it was on in London?
No, but I don't have to commit murder to know it's wrong.
But it's not a murder, it's a play.
Corrupting young minds with sex and violence.
Why do people always lump sex and violence together like some kind of unsavoury double act?
Would you let your children watch this sort of thing?
When my daughter was 12, I took her to see King John at the RSC, and so far she's never tried to blind anyone with red-hot pokers.
People round here don't go to the theatre for simulated sex.
I suppose you get enough of that at home.
Oh, I can see I'm not winning you over.
Well, I'm afraid I'm going to go to the dogs with all the other bleeding heart liberals now. If you'll excuse me, I've got to catch a train.
It's because of people like you that this country's going to hell in a handcart.
Cheers, but I really can't take all the credit.
Reservation Society. God save Strawberry Jam and all the different varieties.
I made the train with seconds to spare, bought a meat feast slice from the trolley and washed it down with the half bottle of scotch I always keep about my person. The refreshing odours of the Northern Line reminded me how much I missed London and Frances and convinced me I had to protect her from the advances of the Lothario Lodger. After I'd stopped for a quickie at the Drum and Monkey.
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
Hi, honey. Hello? Is anybody here?
Excuse me.
Ah.
Who are you?
Oh, more to the point, who are you?
I live here. How did you get in?
The usual way. Key, door, bang.
Charles?
Here she is.
What are you doing here?
I thought I'd surprise you.
You have?
So I see. Have you just got out of the bath?
Hmm?
Wet hair.
Oh, I've been for a swim at the health club. I see you've met Fabio.
Not formally.
This is Charles.
Francis's husband.
Forgive me. I hope I didn't seem rude. I won't shake hands. I'm a little oily.
Don't put yourself down.
Fabio's making some lunch.
You'll join us, yes?
I wouldn't want to get in the way.
Of course you'll join us.
Excuse me. I must get back to my cooking.
Can't stand between a man and his hob.
Come on, Charles. We're eating outside.
He's wearing my Sid James apron. Well, this is a cosy scene of domestic bliss.
Fabio offered to make me a thank you lunch.
For what?
For giving him a room.
He's a cashews to be thanks enough.
It's a sweet gesture. It's very Italian.
Very Italian. What'll he offer you if you let him watch the telly?
Ooh, sex, I heard.
As I suspected.
Oh, grow up, Charles. Fabio's a lodger. End of.
End of? When did you join EastEnders?
He's also 34.
I've read about cougars.
In what? Saga magazine?
They have very good recipes.
You are so transparent. You came all this way in the hope of catching me in flagrante.
Precisely the opposite.
Well, now you can go back to Rugland safe in the knowledge that I'm not sleeping with whatever Latin stereotype was strutting around inside your grubby little head.
You think I came all this way because I'm jealous?
I know it.
You've got a very high opinion of yourself.
I've got a very low opinion of you. There you are, Fabio.
There you are, Fabio.
Ow!
I'm just dissolving the anchovies for the bagna cauda, but I thought you might like a bellini.
Isn't that thoughtful, Charles?
Very.
Salute.
Cheers.
Up yours.
Mmm. Oh, delicious.
I hope you didn't mind me squeezing your peaches.
He really is Sid James.
Charles!
Frances tells me you are an actor.
She tells me you're a journalist.
Yes, but try not to hold it against me.
Charles is in rep at the moment.
Ah, like the National Theatre?
Except I'm not at the National.
Where are you?
You've read Dante.
Of course.
Well, I'm in the third circle of hell, back row, seat 13.
You're joking, yes.
It's what passes for a joke in Paris speak.
So where are you acting?
The back of beyond.
It's a nice little town called Rugland Spa.
And then you'll transfer to the West End?
I don't think that's likely.
Is it possible to come and see you in Rugland Spa?
Possible, but ill-advised.
I would very much like to. When I was posted to London, I swore I'd see as much theatre as I could.
We could both go.
That would be great.
I don't know.
Come on, Charles, it'll be fun.
I'm not sure Rugland Spa is ready for fun.
Don't be such an old grump.
I'll see what I can do.
Fantastic.
You haven't seen the show yet.
No, but theatre has always been my real passion. I did my PhD on Dario Fo, the tradition of commedia dell'arte and its influence on the politically subversive drama of revolution.
You're just going to love the messages, murder.
I'd better check the food.
Fabio's food was as perfect as his baby blue eyes, his manners as smooth as his olive skin, and his taste in wine exquisite. But I needed some grit in my oyster, so I got scotched up at the Drum and Monkey to face the return journey to Rugland Bloody Spa.
Oh, get born, keep on, short pants, romance. Learn to dance, get
success. Please her, please him.
Well?
Whoa!
Are you going?
Oh, I've only just got back.
You said you might be leaving. I need to know.
Yeah, well, I've had a stay of sentence, so it looks like I'll be here for the foreseeable.
Oh, I see.
Ah. I knew you'd be pleased.
Someone left a note for you.
Who?
I've got a B&B to run. I haven't got time to keep an eye on every Tom, Dick and Harry who drops things off. I shoved it under your door.
Ah. Thank you very much. May I wish you a very good night and compliments of the season.
What season?
The note wasn't from Tom, Dick or Harry, but Phoebe, our stage manager, telling me to be at St. James's Church Hall, 9 a.m. sharp, for a read-through of Britannia.
A young, handsome Italian gastronome isn't bad enough. He's also passionate about a theatre.
He doesn't sound bad at all.
He's not living with your wife. Anyway, you're off men, remember?
I'm off actors.
Fair enough. And he's got a PhD in political drama.
So?
I hate critical theory, onanistic twaddle.
What's this?
Charles, he's off on one.
About what?
Critical theory in drama.
Oh, we mustn't take notices to heart.
No, not reviews, Ronnie. I was talking about academic
stuff.
Well,
I mean, a bit of constructive criticism can be helpful.
Ronnie Castle was a rep stalwart and pillar of the Regent Theatre. A mild-mannered old-school charmer, he never rocked the boat and would do anything for a quiet life.
Hang on. Are you honestly saying that if you got a bad notice in the morning, you'd change your performance in the evening?
Well, maybe not change, but I'd take it on board.
Mm. The way our oily author's been brown-nosing the guy from The Echo, this show ought to be safe.
Oh, now, be fair. I've always found Frank Walby a pretty even-handed critic.
Yeah, well, the local reviews are always soft and fluffy.
Like lavatory paper.
At least Frank errs on the positive.
Well, he's bound to this time, the number of drinks Jim's bought him.
And have the hands that wrote this magnum opus been giving her any more trouble?
Not since I told him that if he mauled me again, I'd cut him off and post him to his leathery old wife.
Nice.
A one-time actor, Jim Worrell still fancied himself treading the boards and tried to go on for me the night of my drunken shame. If the sexually harassed Phoebe had been pushed to the limit that night, could she have been the mystery assailant trying to stab him and narrowly missing me?
Okay, everyone. If you've all got a coffee, we can crack on with the read-through. Quick word, Phoebe.
I told you it would all blow over, Charles. Tony wouldn't want to lose a good actor for a minor indiscretion.
What he didn't know was that Tony wanted me out, and it was Sean Reynolds who saved my sorry hide.
Okay, let's get started.
We all sat round a big trestle table, still sticky from the last children's party, and Tony read the stage directions.
Jez's room. Maybe day, maybe night. Doesn't matter. Jez, flat on his back on the floor, a discarded crack pipe by his side. Kaz straddles him. She has a baby under one arm. The other hand holds a gun pointing into Jez's mouth.
Don't speak. Don't whisper. Don't even breathe.
Medicine Mick stands in the doorway, lank, greasy hair brushed back. Shades, tight leather trousers, biker boots. Nothing else. The unforgiving light picks out his tattoos and a torso covered in raw scars.
I've come about the money.
What money?
The money.
What money?
The money.
I don't know nothing about none.
The money. Where's the money? Where is the money?
And so the week went on. Perform the messages Murder by Night, rehearse Britannia by Day. But the protest gained momentum. And every day we had to cross a picket line, so I thought a call to Morris might be prudent.
Don't complain, Charles.
I'm not complaining.
I've got clients who haven't worked at all this year.
Really? Who?
Mind your own business.
One name to raise my self-esteem.
Schadenfreude doesn't suit you. Anyway, I don't know what it is you want me to do.
Keep an ear to the ground and your eyes open.
I always do.
Not for me, you don't.
Forgive me for stating the bleeding obvious, but you are in work.
For how long?
I've got your contract here. I can tell you precisely.
Never mind contracts. There's a bloody picket outside the theatre, and it's growing by the day.
Well, lucky you. Lots of directors would kill for that publicity.
It won't do as much good if they close us down.
No one cares about picket lines anymore. The only effective protests are online. Unless there's violence, get yourself beaten up. And on YouTube, I've got something to work with. Oh. You could go viral.
If I do, you're the first person I'll infect.
Think about it, Charles. This could be the profile boost you've always wanted.
Thanks for nothing, Morris.
When do we want it?
Now!
Mothers Against Depravity now included fathers, siblings and cousins once removed. Enough outraged protesters to picket the theatre and the church hall where we were trying to rehearse. Britannia.
I need to get into the rehearsal.
Are you all right, Ronnie?
Oh, I've been hit on the head.
Why don't you bumpkins find a proper course?
Come on, take my arm. Oh,
thank you, Charles. I think I'm all right.
You're going to have a bruise the size of an egg.
I hope it won't show under the lights.
This is getting out of hand. Look at the state of my bloody jacket.
Tony, you've been egged.
Their side notice.
This is mob rule.
It's ridiculous.
It's a riot.
I wouldn't say riot, exactly.
I would.
You're from the apathy generation.
You're not defending these morons.
No, but I was in Grosvenor Square in 68, Red Lion Square in 74, Trafalgar Square in 90. Now, that was a riot.
Much as I'd love to join you on a stroll down Civil Disobedience Lane, we've got a show to rehearse.
Sure, absolutely.
Do you want me to get Sean on the phone?
No, I can handle this.
I just thought...
I said no!
Okay.
I'm sorry, but there's already a faction on the local council who'd love to see us closed down, and no way am I going to play into their hands.
Standing in his egg-stained jacket, a worrying vein pulsing in his temple, Tony Hegarty was a man under pressure and with a fight on his hands.
The best thing we can do is ignore the yokels and get on with our work. Is everybody here? Yes.
I suppose now is not the time to ask him if I really have to wear the gimp costume in scene four.
I'd leave it for now if I were you.
Yes, probably right.
Vicious. You hit me with a flower. You do it every hour. Oh, baby, you're so vicious.
Between the end of rehearsal and the call for the message's murder, I had time for a pint and an all-day breakfast at the Lamb and Flag.
Do you want the dessert menu?
I probably shouldn't.
Ever tried a Rugland bun?
Is that a pudding or an offer?
Local speciality.
I can't refuse a local speciality.
Clotted cream or custard?
Both.
Charles! Thought I'd find you here.
Hello, Ronnie, what are you having?
Whiskey and ginger, if you wouldn't mind.
Can I have a whiskey and ginger too?
Sure.
You all right? You look a bit... pale.
Haven't you seen it?
What?
Hot off the press.
The Echo was open at the so-called arts page.
Dated thriller fails to thrill.
Ah. While Ronnie sipped his drink, I read a vitriolic and surprisingly forensic demolition of The Message's murder.
I've never seen anything like it.
Frank Walby had gone about his task with systematic precision. The first incision with a scalpel, the final blows with a sledgehammer.
He's normally so fair.
The play bore the brunt of the attack, but Tony's direction took a pummeling and, unusually, there were some very personal snipes about individual actors, most woundingly, Ronnie.
I mean, I'm no Ralph Fiennes, I'll credit you that, but am I really that bad?
My own name suddenly leapt from the page. The only high point of the evening was a hokey death scene and Charles Parris's hilarious turn as comic drunk Gerald.
Charles?
Having emerged unscathed, I could afford to be magnanimous.
Oh, take no notice. You're a damn good actor and you know it.
Kind of you, but I can't pretend it doesn't hurt.
If I were you, I'd chuck this rag out with the rest of the rubbish.
Yes. Yes, you're right.
But as we walked back for the evening performance, he didn't look or sound convinced. Ronnie was a man who'd had the stuffing kicked out of him.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Marchmont. If you come this way, the Major's expecting...
Warning lights, Q15. Warning, fly crew the Major's rope. Standby sound, Q28.
After my death, I usually did the Guardian cryptic in my dressing room. That evening, however, I stayed in the prompt corner to see if the play really was as bad as its review.
Sound Q28, go.
The more you beat, the better the rise. I'll remember that.
Standby lights, Q15.
Because she's got forearms like a docker.
Hi, Phoebe.
What are you doing here?
Thought I'd watch the show, find out what happens.
Rather you than me. Lights, Q15, go.
Have you seen the Echo review?
Have I? Tony's walking around with a face like thunder.
I'm not surprised.
You poor old Ronnie.
I know.
Talk about sledgehammer to crack a nut. Hang on. Standby fly crew, the Major's rope.
He's putting a brave face on, but I think it really got to him.
You're the only one who came out of it unscathed.
Luck of the draw.
It's never happened before. The Echo always gives us at least a half-decent review.
I told you not to trust critics.
I know. Oh, hang on. Fly crew, the Major's rope, go.
They give with one hand and they take away with the other.
What's she doing?
Who?
What the hell? Drop the tabs now.
As the curtain dropped, we rushed on stage where Ronnie should have been hanging from a fake rope.
Somebody help him!
Gasping for air, his face was going from blood red to purple as his legs thrashed and his hands clawed at the noose.
Somebody cut him down, for God's sake!
While two stagehands lowered him to the ground, Phoebe rushed off to call an ambulance.
Ronnie, can you hear me, mate?
In 1 week, a near-miss stabbing, now a possible hanging. I'm not given to theatrical superstition, touch wood, but this production was starting to look well and truly jinxed.
Murder in the Title, Charles Parris is played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Fabio is Theo Cross, Phoebe, Claire Harry, Sean, Ian Batchelor, Tony, Sam Dale, the Landlady, Sally Orrock, Ronnie, Sean Baker, Jim, Jude Akiwudike, Chris, Henry DeVas, and the barmaid, Leah Brotherhead. Murder in the Title is written by Jeremy Front, based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director is Sally Avens. We'll be the next to land.